Good morning, everybody. Today is Sunday, May 17th. Last Sunday, we celebrated Mother's Day, and I just trust you had a very nice Mother's Day as we all honored those who do so much for us just to enrich our lives and just to bless us in so many ways. And so I just trust you had a good time with your mother or thinking about your mother or those who have poured into your life and with family gatherings. Today, my message is entitled, The Blessing of Quarantine. The Blessing of Quarantine. Now, that might sound like an oxymoron or contradictory to what you would consider is going on with this quarantine, but I want to talk about a blessing of quarantine. The scripture I'd like to look at is Mark chapter 2, verse 27, and this is Jesus speaking. He said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. I like the New Living Translation because it kind of just expands the thought a little more. It says this, "Then Jesus said to them, 'The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath.'" So you can see from those scriptures there that the Sabbath that was given by God, that was woven into the fabric of creation and given commandments toward it, that it was made for man and not the opposite. The man wasn't made to be plugged into a structure of a Sabbath, but that the Sabbath was given to man to be a place of blessing. And so God put, the Father put within the rhythms of creation a Sabbath every day. Evening and morning was the first day. Evening and morning was, so every day we have an opportunity to take a Sabbath and rest and give our bodies a physical rest. And then every week we're told to work for 6 days and then you'll honor the Sabbath and do no work on that day. And then there were festivals every year. There were different times when the nation would come together and they would enjoy just the blessing of God. And then they were even commanded as an agricultural society that they would plant their seed and gather their harvest 6 years. And then on the seventh year, they were to give the land a rest. And then even they were supposed to have a year of jubilee where after seven sevens or 49 years, on the 50th year, there would be a year of jubilee that would be like the great grand super Sabbath where all debt was released, slaves, bond slaves were released, everything you lost, land got returned to you. And so again, it was this Sabbath was God put within the fabric of this community and this culture. And so when I talk about the blessing of quarantine, that's what I want us to focus on, is that I think some of us are finding out that as we've been put into isolation, as we've been shut in for these, over 2 months now, that we're rediscovering kind of this principle of the Sabbath. I know I have, and I've been talking to others, and I think they are as well. Let me tell you a story about Micah, our grandson. Micah is 2.5 years old, and he still takes naps. That's a wonderful thing. Naps are a blessing. I know that because Micah's grandfather, myself, I still take naps. But the difference is that I take naps willingly. I want to take a nap when I need one. But if he had his way, there would be no naps. I mean, he's playing, he's going at it hard, he's got whatever activity he's involved in at hand, and it is more of a priority than any stupid nap. Who needs a nap, he thinks. If you nap, you're going to miss out. And so he fights that nap. He suffers from FOMO, F-O-M-O, fear of missing out. If he takes that nap, somehow he'll lose out. Now, he doesn't recognize it, but if he doesn't get his nap, there is going to be a price to pay. a breakdown of sorts. I'm sure you've experienced that when your children were young. There's no nap. If I could paint this picture, he's like climbing the mountain. And eventually he's going to get to the top of that mountain where there's a scary precipice. And we're eventually going to have to face that time. It may take 20 minutes. It may take an hour, 3 hours, 5 hours. But at some point, the reaping of a nap not taken will transpire. And at its lowest end, or its smallest end, the result will be he might get a little snippy, or maybe a little mean, or even disrespectful. But at the larger end, or the biggest consequence, it is a full-blown cry fest with howls through his yawning, tear-filled face. We all knew better about the nap. He didn't. He didn't have that understanding. So back to Father putting into the rhythm of creation Sabbath. Father knows how he created us. He knows how he made us. And just like Michael, we fight that Sabbath because so many times we think we know better. We think we can do this. We think I can handle all these responsibilities and I can put all these things on my plate and it's never going to affect me. Oh, it's just one night I got a bad sleep. Oh, it's just, you know, just 2 weeks I've been working straight. On and on and on, and you keep adding more and more to the puzzle. And so if we are out of sync with that rhythm and with the creation that God made, and I don't mean like New Age kind of rhythm, I mean the rhythms that God put into creation. He said, whatever you sow, you'll reap. And so we reap breakdown over time with sleep deprivation or peace deprivation. Have you ever heard that term? Peace deprivation. And so we are spirit, soul, and body. And God has given us his truth and his ways so that we can flourish in our spirit and in our soul and in our body. He wants us to be fruitful and to multiply. And so he teaches us how we can do that best. In Joshua 1:8, it says this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night that you may do, that you may do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and have good success." And guess what? The Sabbath is one of those principles, one of those blessings that he gives to us to maintain health and fruitfulness, or even just to recalibrate ourselves, our spirit, our soul, and our body. And if we don't apply that gift or receive it and choose to walk in it, we choose to go against the creative rhythms that God has created. And so we suffer. And like Micah, we begin to break down. Each part of our creation, the spirit, the soul, and the body, responds differently to this breakdown and this rejection of Sabbath. And you know, Micah, when he gets tired, it's obvious. I mean, we know exactly what's going on. I mean, he cries over everything. And you know, the cure isn't discipline in that moment. Right? The cure isn't trying to talk sense into him in that moment, or not even, you know, bribe him with something sweet. The cure is a nap, and that's it. The cure is he needs rest. The cure is he needs, if we could call it, Sabbath. And so that's real easy to diagnose in a little child. That's real easy to diagnose in a toddler, in Micah. But when it comes to adults, it's much, much more difficult for us to diagnose what's going on. It's much harder to pinpoint the reason why somebody, they're driving on the road and then all of a sudden something just triggers them. And for something that seems so insignificant to us, but to them, it just created a road rage. Or how about the mom who, you know, all of a sudden she's at home and just had a 15-minute cry for what she would say is no reason? Or how about sometime you're on your phone, you have a smartphone, you're probably on some sort of social media, and all of a sudden you become conscious of a silent, growing agitation, and your mind is less and less in a place of like peace and meditation and contemplation, but it's almost like it's more of a TV or radio that you can't turn the volume down or even shut it off. Noise, noise, noise. Voices, voices, voices. Or maybe your body's sending you signals and been trying to tell you something, that something's off for quite some time. You know, physically, the body's been talking to you, but you're so busy, you just wouldn't take the time to stop and listen. Or how about a consistent nagging anxiety or fear? Just the stress levels are so high, and it's almost like your soul man is like a soldier standing guard all the time. You never have a moment off, and you always have to be in alert. And you say to yourself, what's wrong with me? What's going on? You see, you need a Sabbath rest. You've fallen prey to the rat race. You've allowed yourself to be conformed to this world. And so the scripture tells us that there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And this isn't just about a physical rest. It's a soul rest. It's a spirit rest. The one who ceases from their labors and recognizes that even their works before God are not a thing that you can use to be righteous before Him, but that your righteousness is simply by trusting in the righteousness of Christ, and all of a sudden you cease from your labors and you have peace with God. You know, the scripture says to be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God with thanksgiving. And then listen to this. It says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Yeah, it's real easy to quote scripture things, isn't it? And it seems like, well, you don't know the place I'm in. I'm just making a point here that God tells us there's a place that is available to us as His children to where we can find this Sabbath rest. Is there really a place that you can go to where you really have the peace of God that passes all understanding and it guards your heart and your mind? Is there really this place that you can genuinely achieve that reality? Can you really go to that place where Paul said that you rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. Can you go there? That's a good question. And I guess I'll answer it this way with other questions. Would a good father dangle a carrot in front of his children that he never intended for them to be able to eat? Would a good father make a promise to his children that he never intended to fulfill? Or would a good father tell his children about a vacation spot that they were going to go to, but it doesn't exist? That isn't a good father. That's a terrorist. That's somebody who doesn't look out for your good. I am so sorry if you had a father like that. I'm so sorry if you have people in your life like that that have destroyed your trust and your ability to believe in a wonderful Heavenly Father. I'm so sorry that they warped the true nature and the self-sacrificial love of your Heavenly Father. It may seem like a dream. It might seem like it's so far out of reach, but He really is that good. And the reality is, He's actually even better than that. We learn in Scripture that it says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, or has it even entered the heart of man, the incredible things that God has prepared for those that love Him. It is better than that. Scripture says that He will do exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or even think. That's who He is. And so, He gives us this Sabbath rest to be able to enter into, partially into this life of peace, this life of wholeness, this life of fruitfulness and multiplication. So back to our title, The Blessing of Quarantine. You know, in relation to this coronavirus and the quarantine period that we're actually in, I'm not sure what your, you know, first thought is or your primary feeling throughout this time of the quarantine period. I'm sure there's a wide scope of opinions, and I like hearing all of them because I like to hear, you know, how people are just processing things and where they're at through this. But have you considered that this could be just a beautiful gift that has been given to you for you to explore the beauty and rediscover Sabbath again? To have the opportunity to take all this time that we just had and to shut yourself in and spend time with the one who made you for his joy and for your joy. To just take that opportunity and just slow down and breathe. Breathe him in and him out. I mean, when he said, I am the vine and you're the branches and without me you can do nothing, we had this time to just potentially learn again what that is, for to know what it is to, in him we live and move and have our being, and to recalibrate and to allow our spirit man, our soul man, and our body to just rediscover the life-giving power of Sabbath with God. And so one of these few scenarios has to be true about this quarantine and about this virus that's going on. These potential scenarios, one of them has to be true. Let me list them here. Either God has initiated it, or God allowed it. Or God took what the enemy meant for evil, and he's using it for good. One of those scenarios has to be true. He shut the world in, and he's given us this incredible gift of a mandatory Sabbath. Yeah, I use that word on purpose. Mandatory Sabbath. Is there such a thing as a biblical precedent for this idea of a mandatory Sabbath? Absolutely. If you go back into the scriptures, into the Old Testament, and you see that the law of the Sabbath that God gave to his people, the children of Israel, and they violated it constantly. They violated it for many years, many, many years. And so what God did was, is because they violated that Sabbath, the land actually would need a rest. And so God used a foreign nation, Babylon, to come in and give them a mandatory Sabbath, to give the land a mandatory Sabbath. They would go into exile for 70 years. 70 years. Why 70? Is that just a coincidence? No, if you read in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 20 and 21, listen to these words. He took into exile in Babylon those who had escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and to his son and to the establishment of the kingdom of Persia. Why? Verse 21, listen. To fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days that it lay desolate, it kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Sabbath was so important that God allowed his people to be taken into exile so that they would have a mandatory Sabbath and the land would have a mandatory Sabbath. They were an agricultural community. And the land, because they kept working it, the land would get so depleted of its nutrients and its minerals, its ability to give life to the very plants that they had to eat and the produce that they had to eat. And so the land became so depleted of that, that what growed in it couldn't even sustain life to the way that God had intended it to before. So when I said earlier that you might just need a nap, you thought I meant maybe 20 or 30 minute nap or an hour or two. That's a good nap. No, some of us need something much bigger and longer to recalibrate our system back to the creative rhythms that Father wants us to live in. You may need the equivalent of a 70 Sabbath nap to get you right again. You know, I think about like Israel. Maybe you've had to go on like medication or some type of pill because you taking that became necessary to help you. Now, I know that might sound contrary to some of those faith teachers out there, or to some of you who say, well, why wouldn't God just heal them? Well, why doesn't God just heal you? You know, why are you wearing glasses? Why do you go to the doctor? Why do you wear a seatbelt when you drive? Why do you lock your doors at night? Don't you trust God? No, it's common sense. You know, when some people get to a point where they have lived under the stress and the anxiety and the burden and the weight of something for so long, it's time for a mandatory Sabbath. And the gift of that medication is that it was necessary to put you in exile, to put you into mandatory Sabbath, because without them, you wouldn't have done it. Without them, there was no way out. You would have just continued down that path of violating the rhythms, whether it was a chemical thing or a choice of yours. It just went on for far too long. But there will come a time, thank God, there will come a time when you'll be able to get off them once your mind and your body's recalibrated and your land can once again, like the land of Israel, sustain life. And so we violated the blessing and the priority and the gift of Sabbath rest, and we're all paying the price for that. And so, like I said, it's so hard to diagnose that in an adult because it's so very deceptive. Because the reaping of violating those principles, sometimes it doesn't come for 5, 10, 20 years. And that's why it's so hard to diagnose. But God gave us this gift, and it was for us to live fruitful and good lives. And if we ignore it, we pay the consequences. You know, I got a text from somebody in our church family a couple days ago, and the gist of the text was, as they were asking, they were doing some Bible study, and they were asking if I had a favorite commentary. And so we were talking about that, but then one of the things they said just fits this so perfectly, and this is what they said: I do believe the Holy Spirit is helping me because I'm seeing so much more in the Scriptures than I have in my whole life. This particular individual is in their 50s. But they're saying, for some reason, I'm seeing things in the Scriptures that I haven't seen in my whole life. And then they said this: I hate to see this quarantine period end for this area of my life. My mind is so free to listen to God. Wow. Did you hear that? The quarantine brought a freedom to the mind, and also there's a way now to, they're absorbing the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is able to speak to them now because they're in that quiet place. They've pulled away. They've been given the gift of God to be shut in. And so my reply to that was, oh my, it's so true. I think we're all getting a taste of the deeper meaning of a Sabbath rest. And so the blessing of quarantine. You know, I've said this for decades and decades. I love snowstorms for this reason. I love snowstorms, that big snowstorms that just shut down everything. You can't drive on the roads. You stay in work. You don't have to go into work. All of culture stays home. A mandatory Sabbath. I love it for that reason. Because in that mandatory Sabbath, we get rested. We get recalibrated. And so know that God still gives hidden manna. You know, I think of the story of manna when the children of Israel, every day they could go out and they could gather manna for 6 days. They could take as little as they wanted. They could take as much as they wanted. But God said on the sixth day, because the next day would be the Sabbath, on the sixth day, gather twice as much as you need. Isn't that interesting that he still had them honor the priority of the Sabbath? Now, what would happen on the first 6 days is whatever they would gather, if there's anything left over, it would rot. It was not good for the next day. For those 6 days, they would go out, they would gather, and then by the end of that day, if it wasn't used, it would just rot. It would go bad. And so isn't it interesting that on the sixth day, God says, go out and gather, and it'll last you 2 days. Well, no, God, that doesn't make sense, because the manna that I gather every other day at nighttime or before the morning comes, it's done. It's rotten. I have to go out and get more. I can't get enough for 2 days. It'll spoil. And God says, no, it's not going to spoil. And you say, that doesn't make sense. And we get out our mental calculators for this one. And all of a sudden, it becomes an impossible math. This can't be. How does this manna last for 2 days? I'll tell you how it lasts for 2 days. God. God. It might seem impossible, but with God in the equation of your life, He makes a way where we think there is no way. Some of you may have heard of the series that's out now. It's called The Chosen. The Chosen, if you haven't seen it, it's an eight right now. Season one is eight different shows you can watch on YouTube, or if you get the app, The Chosen. Excellent. It is absolutely excellent. I would go so far as to say it might be the best biblical productions that I've ever seen. I just love the way they depict the characters and the different interactions that Jesus has with people. It just draws you to God. But one of the things that Dallas Jenkins, the director, said was, is they didn't know how they were going to pay for it. And so one of the things that God dropped into his wife, I believe it was his wife, was this term, impossible math. God does impossible math. Just like the 2 days of manna, when it should have spoiled, but it didn't. God does impossible math. And I find it so interesting that they decided to release this Chosen series during the quarantine. And they also decided to release it absolutely free. Nobody has to pay anything for it because God was showing them impossible math. And you know what happened? It became the biggest crowd-funded production in history. They raised millions and millions and millions of dollars by people who just saw the show, saw the episodes, and wanted to contribute to it so that others could see it as well because they were so blessed by it. You see, God does impossible math. The Sabbath to you, a Sabbath rest may seem like it's silly. May seem like, oh, I don't need to follow that. But let me tell you something. God knows what He's doing. And when we honor God by taking a rest that was made for us, He multiplies what happens on the other days. And He even multiplies it twice, if I can take that, on the day that we rest. So we've tried it our way. We've tried it with our math, our calculations, our strength. We thought we were better than the one that made us. And how has it left us? Empty. So as we inch back out of this quarantine, don't let yourself be conformed back into this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To honor the Sabbath in your life. Some of you schedule every part of or a big part of your lives to get things done, and there's nothing wrong with that. But do you give a priority to scheduling in a Sabbath date with your Maker? A time to just meditate on the goodness of Him who made you and loves you and wants to bring you into the fullest, most fulfilled life you've ever had. And so, Father, put these rhythms of into creation of Sabbath every day for your physical rest. Every week for your spiritual recalibration. Festivals every year for the communal gathering of God's people to celebrate together the Sabbath. He put the Sabbath rest into the land every seventh year for the economic wholeness of their people. And then the Jubilee year, when everyone was freed from debt, everyone was freed from a bond slave, from being in debt, and everything you lost was returned to you. It was generational. You didn't lose what your children could inherit and your grandchildren would inherit. It would always be yours because of these Sabbaths. And so let's not violate that. Let's see the beauty of the gift of Sabbath and what the blessing of this quarantine has shown us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. We recognize, Lord, that You are God, we are not, that Your way is right. Our way may seem right, but it always brings death. There's a way that seemed right to a man, but the end is always, always death. Lord, thank You for just allowing us to take this time together to rediscover something so simple yet so profound. It's profound because it comes out of Your heart, Your infinite wisdom, Your love as a Father to us as Your people, that we might live full lives and fulfilled and satisfied lives in you. And so I pray together with my church family and everyone that's listening to this message that you would just make this all so real and that we might recognize the beauty of your Sabbath. We speak your blessing over one another. We ask, Father, that you would just use us in a way that would glorify your name. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a great day in the Lord.